Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
What's trending?
Yeah, dang!
Brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly's certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today.
Number one on What's Trending, Chiefs, Broncos, Sunday afternoon, 3:25 kickoff right here on 96.5 The Fan. Pre-game coverage starts 3 hours before kickoff. We're going to talk a little bit more on the Golden Locks and some betting stuff, but the Chiefs 3.5-point favorites going into this game. We all know massive, massive ramifications for the AFC West and, frankly, for the playoff outlook for Kansas City as well. We're going to hear from Andy briefly at 1 o'clock to maybe get some more clarity on the injury front, but Isaiah Pacheco has not practiced at all this week. Yesterday, Xavier Worthy popped up. I assume he's going to be fine, but he's had this ankle thing pop up 3 or 4 times throughout the season. We also know George Karlaftis a couple days ago, but he was fine yesterday. So really, it's Isaiah Pacheco. And then Josh Simmons, he's healthy. It's just whether or not Andy Reid basically is going to trust him to play on Sunday.
How seamless has it been for him to get back involved in this team and in the game planning? You know, missed a month, came back during the bye week to seemingly get himself back in shape. But for a guy that hasn't been involved in practices or team meetings or position group meetings in a month can be a lot, especially for a young guy, a rookie trying to get back involved. Number two on What's Trending, the MVPs have been announced for the American League and the National League of Major League Baseball. And no surprise on the National League side, it's Shohei Ohtani.
My goodness.
3 in a row. He's won 4 of the last 5, 2 of those being in the American League and now 2 in his 2 years in the National League. He is the best player on the planet. I think that there are legitimate conversations beginning now and will probably continue until the end of time that Shohei Ohtani might be the greatest baseball player of all time.
Yeah, I think he is. Yeah,
I agree.
I think he is already. But I get people that are not ready to say that yet. But he is absolutely sensational, and it was a no-doubter that he was going to win MVP on the NL side. Then on the American League side.
American League side, it's Aaron Judge. Back-to-back years. This one, I will say, a little bit more controversial from some, including myself. Let's me know. I'm not sure a catcher was ever going to win MVP again. At this, I mean, it's the greatest catching season of all time. It's arguably the hardest position to play in baseball, and he still hit 60 home runs and led the league in RBIs. Still wasn't enough.
So I don't think it's this massive outrage that Cal Raleigh did not win, because you're correct. You know, you are correct that he had the best catcher season we've ever seen. My only thing is, the reason why Aaron Judge won, though, is because that's how special the season he also had.
Right.
You know, like if Cal Raleigh did his season and then Aaron Judge wasn't there, then it's a different convo. I think you can make a case for both. I would have voted for Cal Raleigh, but I don't think it's this, like, as crazy as I get why Mariners fans are upset, but I don't think it's like this some disservice to baseball and all that. But you might be right that if Cal Raleigh cannot win in a year like this, then, you know, what do you got to do? But I'm not surprised with the results, I guess, is what I'm
not
to say.
Either. I just, for all those Aaron Judge people who were such strong proponents of his home run hitting when he wasn't winning MVPs.
Sure.
Well, this guy hit more home runs and had more RBIs than Judge did, and now all of a sudden we're talking about his batting average and his on-base percentage. Well, those things didn't matter to you 5 years ago when Shohei was outperforming him, but now it does. It's just, I don't know. Chicken and the egg a little bit.
Elsewhere on what's trending, local college basketball and football. So last night, K-State got a three-point win over Cal over in Manhattan. KU hosts Princeton tomorrow. Bill Self, moments ago, said Darren Peterson will not play. That'll be two games in a row, missing games against Texas A&M, Corpus Christi, and now Princeton. They are saying it is a hamstring injury that is still bothering him. We had the whole is he hurt load management conversation. I think even more so now with him missing the Princeton game, I actually think he legit has a hamstring injury. Like, I think there was a stronger case if you would have said that he missed the Corpus Christi game and then he's back for Princeton, that it was load management. I think they are about to enter a stretch of some very tough opponents and there's no reason to push it. I don't consider that load management. To me, that's smart managing of a basketball player. He's got a hamstring injury. It's November 14th. Why would you push it? So elsewhere, college football, K-State at Okie State tomorrow, 11 a.m. kick right here on 96.5. The Fan. KU is on a bye week. MU takes on Mississippi State, 6:45 kick.
Number four we've got on what's trending. Major League Soccer is making a change to their scheduling. They're going to go to the world schedule, which is July to May, beginning in the summer of 2027. Now, I will admit, I'm not the biggest soccer fan on planet Earth. So I will delegate this over to Drew, who can tell us a little bit more about it.
Yeah, so this is something that comes, all the owners, I believe, of the clubs voted on it. It was a vote that was approved. So what I think it does is it opens up the possibility, I think, of bringing in star players during their primes. I think the MLS is a big enough league where also you look at what the money that they bring to the table. I think they would get a Champions League spot. Of course, the caveat, a lot of people are, people are on both sides of the fence. Weather, problematic during the wintertime, of course. There is an open period from December, mid-December, till late February where there's no soccer at all. Seemingly, you don't want to compete against the NFL playoffs and college football playoff, but I think it's good because it opens up the transfer window naturally for you to get better players in their primes instead of waiting until Messi is at the tail end of his career or Zlatan is at the tail end of his career. I think ultimately it's a good thing for MLS just to get also maybe more international respect from the rest of the world for us not doing things on our own, I guess, seemingly, if you will.
So that was big news out of MLS yesterday. That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Drew Nixon, Logan Weber is in for Cody today. We will get to some Golden Locks and talk about this loaded NFL slate coming up in just a little bit. Also, later on this hour, the random question of the day. And then it is a Friday, so Fan Club Friday at 1 o'clock today. We'll give our game predictions. We'll be joined by Dana Wright from our sister station, KMBZ, of course, from Dana and Parks, and Fan Club presented by Jay Rieger and Co. Today, the cocktail is the Stone Fence cocktail. Yours truly is making it, so good luck. Good luck. I think I'll be fine. This seems pretty simple. Using some Rieger straight rye, some apple cider, some ginger ale. I think we'll make do. But that's the cocktail of the day.
Hey, I'll preface by saying I'm not a huge alcohol drinker. So whether I like it or not, not necessarily a strong indicator against you. Okay. I will say that.
I think you'll like it though.
All right. I
do think you'll like it. All right, let's get back into the Chiefs, though, guys. And you can continue to text in where your confidence is at this point, 913-586-7965. Some of the Chiefs' concerns and your confidence check. I told you guys earlier in the show, I'm at about an 8 out of 10 scale of confidence heading into this game. And a lot of it has to do with this spot for Kansas City. You know, these are games, usually we're talking in the playoffs, where it's like, hey, everything's on the line. Andy Reid's at his best. Patrick Mahomes is at his best. Travis Kelce is at his best. I view that the same way for Sunday. They're well aware of their current standing. I understand Andy Reid's never going to come out and say, it's a must-win game. Of course not. But they know what's at stake. They know the Broncos have 8 wins. They've got 5 wins. They know the road ahead. They're well aware of what it takes to win this Western division. They've done it for 9 straight years. And so I expect the best effort and maybe performance of the season from Kansas City. And by the way, if they have that, they are definitely good enough to beat the Denver Broncos. Like, this is not even a question of if their A game is also played, can the Chiefs beat them? If they both play their A game, the Chiefs win.
Yeah.
Right? Like, anybody disagree with that? Like, this is one of those where the Chiefs, if the Broncos play their A game and the Chiefs play their C game, yeah, the Chiefs will lose this football game. But if the Chiefs play their A game and the Broncos play their A game, then I believe Kansas City wins this game. And that is all based off of, I just don't think the Broncos offense is all that great. Their defense is dominant. No doubt. That's why they have 8 wins and all that. But if the Chiefs are able to protect Patrick Mahomes, then I think their offense will be able to move the football. That's the big question on this. And so my confidence is based off of big moments, big spots. These guys raise their game. And that's why it wouldn't surprise me if this is a Travis Kelce game too, just because usually that's when the rapport is at its best in these moments for Kelce and Mahomes.
Yeah, the biggest moments are when the biggest players shine the brightest, and that's what 15 and 87 have done throughout their careers. I am a little bit lower in terms of my confidence level. I would put myself at like a 6.5 right now. Now, a win against Denver probably lets that rise to an 8, especially if it is a game that they win by 2 scores, or somehow, some way, they win it by 3 scores, and this one's decided before we even get to the fourth quarter. I'm a little bit more hesitant because of, you know, the sense of urgency that you were talking about. You know, that Andy's never going to say it's a must-win game, but we've heard in the press conferences this week, you know, I heard Trent McDuffie on Wednesday said that this Sunday is a massive opportunity for them. And Patrick Mahomes called it a huge game, not only in terms of the division, but, you know, what it would do with their playoff chances, whether they win or lose this game. So I see a little bit more of a sense of urgency from this Chiefs team this week that maybe hasn't been as apparent in weeks past. And that's a good sign. But this Broncos team is incredibly talented. And while I believe that the Chiefs have the offensive line talent to stymie that front four, they have 46 sacks this year. They have been absolutely outstanding. And the Chiefs have, let's face it, lost games this year to teams that aren't nearly as talented, right? Can we all agree that the Denver Broncos are a better football team than the Jacksonville Jaguars? I think we can all
absolutely
agree on that.
Yep.
I think that the Denver Broncos are more talented than the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yep.
So this is a really good football team that they are playing against. And it's just going to come down to which version of the Chiefs show up. Is it going to be the version that we saw against the Detroit Lions, or is it going to be the version we saw against Jacksonville or LA or Buffalo?
Yeah, my biggest concern is just protecting Patrick Mahomes in this game. And do they let a defense, by the way, that's going to get theirs at times. Like, I will be shocked if the Chiefs get through this game, and I'll gladly be wrong if the Chiefs get through this game and Mahomes is not sacked once, right? I just would be shocked by that. If that's the case, by the way, the Chiefs are definitively
Chiefs win this game by at least 2 scores.
You know, if that's the case. So they're going to get theirs. They're very good. You can have your best and they're still going to get you. All right. That's how good this defense is for Denver. However, you let that happen. All right. You cannot let them take over a football game where your tackles are liabilities, where Mahomes doesn't trust his tackles, where he, of course, is playing backyard football and running for his life. That's the disaster stuff. That's my biggest concern, that's something that the Broncos are able to do. I actually think, as much as bigger picture we all know and why we wanted them to go trade for defensive line help, while I'm worried, can they get pressure on Bo Nix? I just don't think that flips the game as much. You know, if I had a pick, would I rather the Chiefs get pressure on Bo Nix all game long or the Chiefs protect Mahomes all game long? It's a no-brainer which one I want to pick. It's protecting Mahomes.
100%.
I'll deal with how Spags tries to get creative in coverage and blitz schemes, and it's also an indictment on Bo Nix, you know, right? He's not by any means the best quarterback they have faced this season. They obviously just played Josh Allen. We know what he's capable of. So that's where I'm kind of at. Someone on the text line says Spags is going to suffocate Bo Nix. I hope that's the case. I just don't think that's what they would have to do to win. Does that make sense? Like, if they do get pressure on Bo Nix and they protect Mahomes, well, they're winning this football game. It's not even a question. I think it's way more important for them offensively to protect Mahomes, because if you move the ball on Denver, I don't think their offense is capable for 4 quarters to keep up with you. The question is, as Matt McMullen brought up, and where I would be concerned is, do the Chiefs have the lead going into the fourth quarter? Because this Broncos team, while admittedly some of these numbers I'm about to read off are skewed by their 28 point, whatever it was, or 33 point fourth quarter comeback against the Giants like 3 or 4 weeks ago, the Broncos have the highest point differential, the highest yardage differential, the best sack differential in the fourth quarter this season. 10 plus 10 in the sack differential is crazy. Yeah. They're 4-0 in those games in which they trail in the fourth. I'm not saying Mahomes is not capable of a comeback. I mean, we'd be foolish to say that. However, I think you need the lead going into the fourth. You always like it. I think they need it in this spot, because for whatever reason, it's that magic that the Chiefs maybe had last year as well. In the fourth quarter, the Broncos flip a switch. They make the key plays. I don't think you want to give the Broncos an opportunity to already have the lead going to that spot because they've been very good.
Yeah, I would say it's the first time, at least for me, since Patrick Mahomes became the starting quarterback of this Chiefs team, that when they go into a game in the fourth quarter and they are trailing or up by one score, I'm not as confident anymore. You know, it's just, I don't really know how to explain that, you know, but it just feels like in the biggest moments of the game, the Chiefs haven't really been the Chiefs this year. Unfortunately, the Broncos have been the Chiefs a little bit this year. And you're exactly right. For no other reason than to try to stymie the front four of the Broncos a little bit, you need a fourth quarter lead. Because if you are trailing heading into the final 15 minutes, or if it's a tie ball game, what have you, there is an immediate thought they're going to try to throw the football, right? Especially if you're trailing in a game, and especially if you have Patrick Mahomes. They're going to throw the football here. They're going to kind of abandon the running game and become a lot more one-dimensional. And that allows for whoever's pressuring the quarterback for Denver, pin your ears back. You don't have to worry about rush lanes to try to slow down the running game or having gap discipline. None of that stuff exists. Get to the quarterback. You try to contain Mahomes within the pocket because he is at his best when he's able to make those off-platform and off-scripted plays, that backyard football that we hear so much about. If you're ahead in that game, there, whether it be the smallest iota of the game plan thought process for Denver, if the Chiefs are up 7 or up 10 points in that fourth quarter, you can't just assume they're going to throw the football. You can't just assume they're going to run the football. So it allows for you as an offense to kind of dictate the flow of the game a little bit more when you're trailing versus if you're behind that late.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll talk more on the divisional side of things for this game and where the current odds sit in the betting markets, but also some people out there have ran simulations on the outcome Sunday and what it does for the AFC West percentage-wise. If Kansas City wins, what it does for their chances, obviously it increases them. But we'll get into that specifically, and also the random question of the day is coming up. But let's get to it, Drew. We do this each and every Friday.
Just because you love something doesn't mean you're good at it. But Alex Gold and betting on sports?
Pretty, pretty, pretty good.
It's time for Golden Locks.
All right, let's get into these. As you guys know, for starters, we have our Circa Million contest entry with a lot of us from the station. Myself, Speck, Rob, Dusty, Cody, Bink. We are on a cold streak as a team for that entry. And now we're once again back to considering, Logan, do we go for the quarterly, what they call booby prize, which is last place for the quarter? We are in quarter three. We went 1-4 last week as a group. So how it is, we all put in three picks and then majority picks get used. So like if you had a pick that was right, but nobody else picked it, then it doesn't get used, right?
Gotcha.
So that's how we do it. But we are 1-4 in the quarter. And so there's a thought here, like, unless we go 5-0 this week, I would rather us go 0-5.
Yeah, valid.
Which is what happened all the way back in week one. And then we got hot. We got all the way into the top 100 in the contest out of 5,500 entries. We are now back to 1,000. No. So we're not doing as well. But I want to give out a couple looks that we had. Last night, by the way, if you listen to that betting show on Wednesday night, we did hit the under on Thursday Night Football, barely, but we hit it. Doesn't matter. 43.5. Also, depending on the number, the Jets covered if you got it at 13.5. If you got it at 12.5, you missed it by a half point. But a couple games that I like, and then I'll get to some bets inside the Chiefs game and see where you're at on these, Logan, as well. I like the Giants to cover the 7 against Green Bay. Mike Kafka is obviously the interim head coach now. Jameis Winston gets the nod. I actually like that quite a bit. The Packers have just not been all that impressive. When Josh Jacobs is not going, they have struggled. I think there's an opportunity for the Giants to hang there. I don't think they get the outright win and upset in that regard, but I get 7 points. I'll take that for the Giants. And then I like Detroit Sunday Night Football plus 2.5 at Philly. I get 2.5 points here. We know Philadelphia just keeps finding ways to win as well. They're not impressive, though, when they do it. The Lions are actually better in DVOA in every category, phase, I should say, offense, defense, special teams, than the Philadelphia Eagles. So I think Detroit maybe wins this game outright, but I definitely like them plus the 2.5. Then a couple Chiefs-specific bets. How about a first quarter bet? So the Broncos have allowed an opening drive score, not necessarily a touchdown, but a score in 6 of their last 10 games. Mm. Now, if the Chiefs win the coin toss, they're going to defer. We know that. And for whatever reason, they win a lot of these coin tosses. It's one of the more bizarre things. The first team to score bet is live this week, and also the Chiefs to win the first quarter. Even money. I like that. It's one of my favorite bets. The Chiefs to win the first quarter, plus 100 at FanDuel right now. A lot of that is, one, the Broncos' offensive struggles, but if the Chiefs do get the ball first, their first 15 scripted against a defense, while they're great, for whatever reason, opening drives, teams have moved the ball, field goals or touchdowns. So that's one of my favorite bets for the Chiefs game.
I like that. I like the Chiefs' first drive score. I like the Lions at that +2.5 that you mentioned. I just, David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs are coming off of their best game as a duo so far this year. And yeah, the Eagles find ways to win games, but I have said time and time again, I think the Detroit Lions are the best team in the NFC, and I will continue to stand by that as their defense gets healthier and healthier. Saquon Barkley has been borderline ineffective after the year he had last season. Jalen Hurts has been fantastic in the second half of games, but if they get down big early against this Detroit Lions team, feels like it might be too little too late. I'm kind of hesitant on the Giants at that -7 or +7 that you mentioned.
Yep.
I don't know. I still have belief in Jordan Love. I do. And he was atrocious against Philly. This Giants defense is not quite the same thing. I do agree with you on them being able to stymie Josh Jacobs a little bit, because that defensive front for the Giants is the strength, not only of their defense, but of their football team. Mm-hmm. That defensive front is. So I kind of lean towards Jordan Love being able to have kind of a bounce back game and get people back onto his bandwagon as one of the better quarterbacks in this league. I would probably say I lean towards Green Bay to actually cover in that game. Okay. Rather than the Giants.
Definitely possible. One other game I like the Niners -3 at Arizona. Brock Purdy's back, finally. We were just talking about him earlier in the week. Also, Ricky Pearsall is back. I think they can roll against the Arizona Cardinals. Those are some golden locks heading into Sunday. I'm laughing at this text because, again, I'm not guaranteeing anything, but it's just funny. Someone says, the Chiefs will not get the ball first. How can you, what do you mean, guarantee? I can't guarantee they won't, but like, I love how definitive the person, they will not get the ball first. You're guaranteeing that the Chiefs are losing the coin toss then? Is that what you're saying? Or winning, I'm sorry, because the Chiefs will defer. If the Chiefs lose the coin toss, do we think the Broncos are deferring? Or do you think the Broncos are trying to change it up?
I think they'll defer.
But nobody can guarantee the coin toss. That's just funny.
That's all anybody does anymore.
Guaranteeing,
you know?
I guarantee you, they're not getting the ball first.
Nate does a, it's one of my favorite tweets of the week when the Chiefs play, is Nate's like, the Chiefs have won the toss. You know what happened next.
Yeah.
Because that's what everybody does. Everybody defers
you
nowadays.
You absolutely should. So we'll see. I guess now I'll have to keep an eye on the coin toss even more than I was planning on as well. It's a loaded NFL slate, though, guys. Like, it's,
it is.
I know we're focused on the Chiefs here, but this NFL slate's one of the best of the entire season. I think it is the best. Now teams are established. Key divisional games, Chiefs-Broncos, Seattle. And unfortunately, that game against the Rams is on at the same time as the Chiefs game. It's at 3:06, so I guess you can watch a drive maybe before the Chiefs game. But I mean, think about even in the noon slate. So you get, I actually think Chicago, Minnesota is a really good game in this spot. You get a game between the Chargers and Jags. I'm sure a lot of Kansas City is going to be focusing on that one. The Chargers are 3-point favorites there. Cincy and Pittsburgh, you got a chance for Pittsburgh to bury Cincinnati and be done with that. You also have Tampa and Buffalo. The Bills, you see their stretch thrown. So they just lost and got upset against Miami. They get the Bucs this week. I'm not saying they're going to lose, but they could. Then they turn around on Thursday, short week, and play Houston. It is not impossible for them to lose 3 in a row.
No, it isn't.
Or 2 or 3.
I mean, you know, you were talking about bets. I've got Baker Mayfield over 217.5 passing yards in this game. I like the connection he's got with Emeka Ogbuka. I lean towards Cade Otton having a pretty good day in Tampa. I don't know if they'll outright win this football game, but Buffalo's going to have to answer some questions in this game on Sunday after a complete embarrassment of a loss against Miami. And then the Texans, who, is their record indicative of team success? Not necessarily, you know, but CJ Stroud's probably going to be back by then. He was playing better football before the concussion. And quietly, the Houston Texans have the #1 defense in the National Football League. I feel like that's not really being discussed at all right now, is that Houston has, statistically, by most metrics, the best defense in the NFL.
Davis Mills will start this Sunday against Tennessee. But you're obviously talking about next Thursday, Texans, Bills. By then, maybe CJ Stroud is out of concussion protocol. All right, up next, we get right back into the Chiefs, talk a little bit about the AFC West, what is on the line there, what some of the trends tell us, plus the random question of the day right here on Cody and
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Gold. Random question of the day coming up in about 8 minutes or so. It's Cody and Gold on a Red Friday, getting closer to kickoff. Chiefs Broncos 325 right here on 96.5 The Fan. Alex Gold with you. Drew Nixon producing the show. Logan Webber, he's filling in for Cody today and on Monday. Cody is back next Wednesday. At that point in time, we'll be all in on Indianapolis at that point in time. Two massive games, of course, back to back. We're 30 minutes away from a Fan Club Friday presented by Jay Rieger & Co. And today, the Stone Fence cocktail is the drink of choice. Dana Wright going to be joining us in studio. We'll, of course, get to game predictions. Also, earlier today, former Broncos safety Nick Ferguson joined us. So you'll hear some of that Broncos perspective coming up in the 1 o'clock hour as well. But I teased this before the break. I mentioned, look, we all know what's at stake divisionally, but I wanted to dive deeper into it. And it's why, and it sounded like maybe Matt McMullen disagreed a little bit. He had some good examples of some other big time games, but I do think this is the biggest game in the Mahomes era because they are in a spot where it's not just trying to make sure you're alive in the division. It's also the reality of going to 5-5 and dropping down, and you're already the 8 seed, but then you don't make up any ground on Jacksonville, and you're talking about, hey, what's the path to just make the playoffs, knowing the Colts are on the rise? They have had games to clinch a number one seed before. Okay. At the time, that was a huge game. Later on this year, if there's the Broncos game on Christmas Day and the Chiefs win on Sunday, that might end up being the biggest game of Mahomes' career. But like, this one has not just the reward element to it. This one has serious risk element involved. And so that's why I think it's the biggest of his career regular season wise. Now, odds will tell you the Broncos plus 125 to win the West, the Chiefs plus 155. But more interesting than that is the repercussions of what the simulations show if you look at a win. So the Chiefs, if they win Sunday, they go to a 51% chance to win the AFC West. Denver drops to 37%, so the Chiefs become favorites. I don't know if the books will reflect that, but this is Warren Sharp's simulation. The Chargers 11%, and then as you would expect, if Denver wins, the Chiefs drop all the way down to 9% chance. The Chargers even drop down to 9%, and then the Broncos are sitting at an 82% chance to win the division. Those are numbers to back up what I think we all recognize already. We know is reality. The Broncos win, they're probably winning this division. The Broncos win, the Chiefs are not winning the West. If the Chiefs win, then they got a really good chance all of a sudden to win the West. That's why it's just so meaningful and so impactful Sunday.
You win Sunday, and it becomes apparent that you still control your own destiny in the AFC West. You still have another matchup against the Broncos. You still have another matchup against the Chargers to be able to, first of all, get a little bit of a get back on LA and also get the season sweep over Denver. So if it ends up being the Chiefs at 11-6 or 12-5 and the Broncos have the same record, you won both games. You've got the season sweep. You are the AFC West division champion. You know, Matt and I actually agreed. He brought up the same example I did of what a game that you could compare this mm-hmm. one to. And it was that 2021 Week 10 matchup against the Raiders. And I agree with him. It's about the closest thing you can compare it to. Chiefs were 5-4. Raiders were 5-3. A win for Vegas would have made them a 6-3 football team. Chiefs would have fallen to 5-5. All of a sudden, you're a game and a half back in your own division. This is not that. This is an even bigger separation if you lose this game. The Broncos, if they win, go to 9-2, and you're 5-5. So the disparity there is even wider than it would have been had they lost to the Raiders a couple of years ago. And did they lose to the Raiders? No, they killed them, beat them 41-14, and it was a boat race from there in the AFC West. But again, it's just that I believe the division is better than it's maybe ever been under Patrick Mahomes. And that's evident by the fact that you've got the Broncos at the head at 8-2. The Chargers are sitting there at 6-3, 7-3, whatever their record is at the moment. Yeah. And the Chiefs, you know, sitting at 5-4. This division has little room for error now compared to where it was 3 or 4 years ago, which I think adds added pressure to it. It makes me agree with you. I think this is the biggest regular season game probably in the Mahomes era.
So this is a divisional, you know, swing, but I also wonder, and on the negative side, you would say, all right, this is the first step. If you're someone that's a Broncos fan, if you're someone that's frankly an NFL fan that doesn't like Kansas City and their dominance, you're saying, all right, this is the most recent opportunity now to knock the Chiefs down a peg, which would be eliminate them from the division. And then let's say the Chiefs still make the playoffs, and I think they still would, by the way, but it would get dicey. They make the playoffs. Then there's the other part of it, which is, all right, well, okay, they didn't win the division, but who's going to knock them down and end their run in the playoffs? And so it's this year, this game could be the start of something, which is the end, which is what people have been predicting going back to the offseason, or Sunday is just reinforcing, no, the Chiefs are still here and look out in the playoffs. But like there's two levels to this. There's like the sign that the divisional run is over, and then there's still going to be, even if the Chiefs were to lose Sunday, there will still be me and others, I think, that would say, what is the run over in terms of the championships, which would be, all right, they lose the division, but if they still go in an AFC title game again
right.
and win, then like who cares almost, right? But is there a chance that two layers of that, are they all coming crashing down this season?
I lean towards maybe the division one kind of crashing down just because of this influx of talent that has made its way into the AFC West. And that's, I'm not just talking about players. I'm talking about coaches, right? With Denver hiring Sean Payton and bringing him into this system, with the Chargers getting Jim Harbaugh, the coaching in this division is as good as it has ever been, at least in, you know, the time period that Andy Reid has been in Kansas City. And the quarterback play is better. You know, Bo Nix is the best quarterback the Broncos have had since Peyton Manning, without question.
Yeah.
And Justin Herbert, I'm not as big of a hater of Justin Herbert as a lot of people are. He might end up being the best Chargers quarterback ever. I mean, that's where we're sitting at right now. Now, the Raiders are a dumpster fire. Pete Carroll hasn't quite figured that one out yet. We'll see if he ever does. But the division thing could definitely be toppling down, especially with a loss on Sunday. I feel like the tower
will
have fallen.
Over. The division's Absolutely. Over on Sunday if they lose. Yeah.
For my money, I'm not going to start talking about the Chiefs' playoff success run being over until somebody does it.
Yep.
I'm sorry. Somebody's got to show me that you can do it. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Drake May, whoever it is, you got to show me that somebody in this conference can beat Patrick Mahomes in a wild card or a divisional round game. Because until it happens, I'm not going to believe you. And I'm sorry, even if the Chiefs don't win the division, if they get the 6th seed or the 7th seed and they got to go on the road to Indianapolis and play in a dome against the Colts.
They'll probably be favorites in that game, depending, I guess, on what happens next week. If the Chiefs, you know, the Chiefs are playing the Colts next week as well. And for the most part, if they were healthy, I think the Chiefs would be favorites.
Give me 15 all day in that game.
Most of those games. They got to get there, though. Sunday certainly would, I think, calm the waters on that in a big, big way. They right now are, it's something, I think we were looking this up when I was on with Fesco and Dusty on Thursday morning. So I guess that was yesterday. And we were looking at just the odds to make and miss the playoffs. If you're someone that's just like, you know, pessimistic as heck, and you think it's all ending, to miss the playoffs, if you're one, these are just a couple of the fringe playoff teams in the NFL right now. The Chiefs are not currently in the field. They're 4-1. If you think they're not making the playoffs, you can get them at 4-1 odds right now. If you think, for example, the Jacksonville Jaguars, who we know the Chiefs are kind of competing with for the final playoff spot potentially, are not going to make the playoffs, they're minus 168 to miss the playoffs. Now, on the flip side, to make the playoffs, the Chiefs are still minus 590. We know the Chiefs are still Super Bowl favorites. We know they are still favorites to win the AFC. That's why, you know, when you see them as 3.5-point favorites even on Sunday against the Broncos, it's more about the Chiefs and the belief there than it is even, I think, people dismissing the Broncos. It's just that, now the Chiefs, they've been in these spots before, maybe more so playoff time, but usually this is when they're at their best. So we'll give our official predictions in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll take your predictions as well. Someone says to you, Brock Osweiler would like a word on your comp of the best quarterback. Are you, that's a joke, right? That's a troll text. There's no way.
What's next? You're going to throw out Trevor Siemian's name?
Remember Paxton Lynch when people were worried the Broncos drafted him because there was rumors the Chiefs wanted to draft Paxton Lynch. Thank goodness they didn't, because they wouldn't have drafted Patrick Mahomes probably, because I think that was the year before, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
So that would have damaged any path of Mahomes. But I'll be honest, like I think I was one of the few people too that thought Paxton Lynch was going to be good, man.
Fresh out of Memphis, 6'7" or whatever he was.
I thought Paxton Lynch was going to be good.
John Elway,
Trevor Siemian,
quarterbacks that he kept drafting.
Never saw the Trevor Siemian stuff. I didn't get that.
He played
at
Northwestern,
all.
Yeah, probably not.
I never saw the Trevor Siemian.
Shout out the Wildcats, man.
Yeah, that's right.
Someone says, what are the odds you can get on? Odds you can get
all
betting
three?
KC, Buffalo, and Baltimore miss playoffs. We did that exercise with Fesco and Dusty. Here, I'll pull it up again. So Baltimore to miss, Kansas City to miss, and then who was the other one? They said Buffalo.
Buffalo.
Which is crazy to think, right? Baltimore, Kansas City, Buffalo, all missing. A $100 bet would pay out $15,553.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Is there a chance one of them miss? Yeah.
Yeah.
All three, I would argue the three best quarterbacks in the AFC, obviously. All three of them are not going to make it.
I would argue the three best quarterbacks in football.
Bills, Chiefs, and who?
Yeah,
the Ravens?
Probably, yeah. Bills, Chiefs, and Ravens to miss the playoffs, parlay it together.
Yeah, $100 on FanDuel will win you $15,500.
Goodness.
Yep.
Because it's never going to happen.
It's not.
Well, yeah,
all three,
yeah.
Not happening.
Yeah.
Definitely not. Someone was going back to our quarterback conference. They said people thought Casey were going to take Manziel. Yeah, a lot of people were upset Johnny Manziel wasn't a Chief. That would have been a wild run as well.
I was a big Johnny Manziel guy.
Were you?
When he was at A&M.
Was Andy coaching the Chiefs at that time? Yes?
Yeah, that would have been, the 2014 draft? 2015 draft?
Yeah.
That was Johnny Manziel?
So was it right before then? Or was it?
Well, no, you're asking about Andy. Andy's been the head coach, obviously, since 2012.
2012, okay.
But no, who didn't like watching Manziel play? I mean,
he and Baker sort of had the same vibes in college of like, I'm better than you. I know I'm better than you. And I'm going to let you know that I'm better than you. I love the trash talking. It's my favorite thing about sports.
Someone asked this question on the text. I think this is obvious, but maybe it's closer than I think. Someone said since 2000, whose QB stack up better, Broncos or Chiefs? I think it's the Chiefs just because of Mahomes. Chiefs. I understand. It's not even close.
Yeah.
Because Peyton Manning, while he's obviously a 5-time MVP award winner and a Hall of Famer, he was not good in Denver his last year. He was terrible. He was carried by the defense. you're talking about just Manning's time in Denver. It was not the same level as Hall of Fame Manning. So then I get Mahomes, who still has more time, but already is won three rings. It's the Chiefs. Just like, it's over. It doesn't even matter about. Yeah. Doesn't even matter comparing the Tyler Palkos and Thigpens to the Kyle Ordens and whoever else. That doesn't even matter. Mahomes ends the conversation.
What if you took out though Peyton and Mahomes?
What a disgusting conversation.
Still somewhat lean Chiefs.
I was going to say, I still
Matt Castle versus, I mean, who was that?
Alex Smith. Yeah, I think
that adds in Jake DeLome and Jake Plummer, I think, right?
Yeah, I haven't heard Trent Green or Alex Smith's name thrown yet.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs still would win that conversation.
I still lean Chiefs.
Look, there is a reason the Chiefs for a decade have owned the Broncos. And that Mahomes hasn't been part of all of those, right? Alex Smith was part of that as well.
Correct. He's what, 7? Mahomes himself is what, 17 and 2 against Denver in his career, something like that?
16-1, 17-2.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
It's one of those.
I guess technically last year's Week 18 game does not count.
So. Yeah, it was not him.
16-1.
That was one Carson Wentz. We are 15 minutes away from a Fan Club Friday presented by Jay Rieger & Co. The Stone Fence cocktail is the drink of the day. Someone said, Thigpen. Kyle Orton double dipping. Yeah, that's true. He accounts for both.
He does account
for the Chiefs and the Broncos. All right, let's get to it.
Random question.
Random question of the day brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. I got a good one for you guys today. Text line 913-586-7965.
Guaranteed that it's good.
It is good. Let me start with the beginning of the survey, and that's the question will not be the question they ask. It'll be the second part. I'll explain. Well, there was a survey by Live Nation. Now, it's important to note, Live Nation, as you guys know, they own a bunch of concert venues and they handle ticketing and all that. So that's the theme of the people that were answering these questions. You have to understand they were already like on a Live Nation mailing list.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, here you go. So they did a survey. Over 40,000 people were asked this question by Live Nation. And it was, would you rather go to a concert or have sex?
Straight up.
Mm-hmm. 70% chose going to a live gig over having sex with somebody. So that's just crazy in its own right. But then the question I want to ask you, I mean, I guess you can answer that one too if you want, is more of these, which is, if you only had one option the rest of your life, would you rather go to a live music venue, movie theater, or sporting events? 39% said live music, 17% said cinema, 14% said sporting events. Now, you know my answer. It's easy. If I could only go to a concert, a movie theater, or a sporting event, it's not even close for me. The sporting event is the answer. End of story. But where are you guys at?
What do you make of the first question, Logan? It's a sporting event. I am going to go ahead and refrain from answering. I'm gonna assert my Fifth Amendment rights and answer on the first question.
There's only one answer. The answer is sex.
It's okay. Obviously sex.
Right, we don't have to beat around the bush here.
No.
Come on.
I don't know. My wife might end up hitting me for it later, but we'll see. I'm with you. Sporting events.
I'm thinking her answer would be that, I hope, as well.
Yeah.
I would hope that's her answer too, Logan.
Yeah, you're right. It's got to be sporting events. I'm sorry. Like, you're telling me that I can still have Spotify on my phone and I can still watch movies at home? Yeah, I'm going to a sporting event. I would rather go to either. I would rather do that any time of the day. Sporting events are, and as much as I love going to a movie theater, I'm not huge on like concerts. It's not really something that I do. Yeah. And this is a completely biased strand of questions from Live Nation, who is one of the largest concert promoters on the planet.
Yeah.
There seems to be some bias. I am surprised, though, that
70% said.
Yeah, you're out of
your
mind.
That's crazy.
I am more surprised, though, that people said movie theater than sporting event. I'm very surprised at that.
But to Logan's point, it's the demographic of the people that were answering the question, giving the question.
Right. Yeah, of course. And if you went to a Chiefs game, of course it's going to be majority sporting events.
This was the Live Nation audience. If this question was given to Cincinnati Bengals fans, they might not choose sporting events because who wants to go see that crap again?
I do think so. For concerts, I am, if I really, really like the artist, like I have to really, really like you to go to a concert. If I'm a fan and I listen to some music, like that's not enough for me to go to a concert where, you know, if it's, you know, I feel like I'm more likely to go to a sporting event in general than I am a concert, but 100%. certainly more a concert than a a movie theater, I think, just if I'm not necessarily for the cost, but just the experience, I'd rather go experience a concert than go to a movie theater to see a movie.
I'm with you there. And movies you can watch at home.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, someone made a good point. They said for them, they'd rather go to concerts for the same reason we said about movies with sports, saying hey, I can watch sports on TV.
That's fair.
Still, movies you can watch at home. The point works for sports, too. I just think the atmosphere, there's still nothing like going to a sporting event and the experience you get there. While the viewing experience at home is better than it ever has been, I still think there's nothing like going to a Chiefs game at Arrowhead. As great as it is to sit there at home and on your couch and get up from the couch whenever you want and not have a line at the bathroom at all, I understand. But I do think the movie part is the most surprising of the bunch. Like, I mean, a lot of movies are going straight to a lot of the better content's right on Netflix and stuff immediately anyway.
I mean, I like going to the movie theater. I like the feeling and the vibe inside a movie theater. But you're exactly right. Like, hey, I have a HD TV in my living room that the TV looks just fine on. I mean, the same thing can be said for a sporting event, too. But I don't know. Concerts can be very hit or miss, you know, with like opening acts and things like that. And you may love the artist, but you may not like every song the artist has in their repertoire. So how many of the songs are you actually enjoying? And I'll tell you one thing. You will not catch me dead in like a mosh pit setting or like down standing for a 3-hour concert.
Yeah, no.
I'm sorry. If I'm going to a concert, I need somewhere to park my behind because I want to sit.
I'm excited. Like, we all know the next year, the Morton, they just named the naming right, the Morton Amphitheater there in Riverside is opening up, and they already named a couple of the big acts that are going to be there. Like, I'm excited to go see a concert there.
I think that is
a Live Nation venue?
I think it is. Maybe. I don't want to. I do think it is interesting, though. Like, because for a concert, you know pretty much the set list that they're going to have. Like, let's say it's your favorite artist or it's the Kansas City Chiefs. You know the set list is going to be great. There's technically no guarantee that the Chiefs play their best game. So ultimately, you might decide, man, I probably might have rather have gone
to the
concert.
Isn't that part of the fun, though? Like, the stress that you have not knowing if your team's going to win? Isn't that part of the experience?
You're nervous? I agree with that, but I think the case for a concert could be made in the fact that you might realize that you actually wasted your time. Not wasted your time, but it could have been better spent getting a once-of-a-lifetime experience seeing your favorite artist than seeing your favorite team get beat and the game wasn't very good.
That's
fair. The same price point.
I could argue that not every concert is going to be A1 either. I have been to concerts where I loved the artist in terms of their discography on Spotify or whatever. And then I went and saw them in a concert in person, and it was like,
they didn't perform as great as
the
you were
auto-tune expecting. Yeah. Must have been outrageous in the studio.
913-586-7965. Someone said, what are you, 80, Logan? I'm 61. Give me the mosh pit.
No.
61? All day.
No chance.
Someone else did say, how about you can double dip sex at the concert? That takes care of everybody. No. Someone said, significantly longer gratification for a concert versus the sex. And so that's why they would answer that way as well. They also say they've never been pissed off leaving a concert. Ooh, I don't know. I'm glad you haven't. I think there's people that have been in a bad mood leaving a concert.
I've never been in a bad mood. I am not a big concert goer, so very few and far between, like, people who I've seen live. I like the performers I see, and it's an experience I enjoy. Yeah,
someone was asking about the cost. I wasn't answering this based on cost at all.
Like,
obviously, sporting events are more money than going to a movie. Duh. Concerts can be as well, or are. I was basing it more just strictly off of the experience. Not like, if we get into like the semantics of I do this because of the cost. Well, then that's a whole different conversation.
Right? Who have you guys seen in concert? I've
not
got a
that
list
many.
Of, I've got like five.
People give me a hard time on the text line.
I've been
line.
To five concerts in my life. That's it.
Yeah, I've been to four.
So we're a bad example here because none of us have gone to that many concerts. Cody's gone to a ton. I know we've had these conversations before. The text line gives me a hard time because I've seen Train at a concert before.
I saw Train one time.
It was a good concert, by the way.
It was in St. Louis. It was a 4th of July performance, and they were just the band.
That's
that
crazy.
I've seen Train. Let's see. Most of these are actually fairly recent. Not Train's older, but Luke Combs, Kane Brown. I saw Chance the Rapper when he was like at it, like right before he won all the Grammys.
He's
obviously since fallen off. And then Jay-Z and Beyonce. I think those are the only big time concerts I've gone to.
I'd say two country concerts, two rap concerts. There
how about
you
that?
It's
how about
a
that?
Little split. That's an even split. I've seen Train. I was 10. This was 2008. So this was before like Marry Me and Hey Soul Sister. They performed Drops of Jupiter 9 times.
It was like Natasha Bedingfield opening up for them.
Yeah, it was a 2-hour set, and they did Drops of Jupiter 9 times. And not to mention, it had rained all day. Oh. So, like, the humidity, the fog was bad. They shot off the fireworks, and then Train performed. You couldn't see them through the smog because of how foggy it was, mixed with the smoke of the fireworks. It was not great. Most recently, I actually went and saw Dan and Shay in concert. Okay. Mostly because my favorite artist, Ben Rector, was one of the opening acts. Mm-hmm. And so we went to the Dan and Shay concert more or less to see Ben Rector. But Dan and Shay put on a really, really good show. They were phenomenal.
I've never been to a country concert before.
Okay, we got to change that this year.
So the concerts that I've been to, Logic is my favorite rapper. I've been to two different concerts. Okay. I have seen G-Eazy open for him as well.
Are yours all rap?
Yes.
Okay.
That doesn't surprise me.
I saw Kanye live, which was a dope experience because the way that he did the concert was wild. He did it on an elevated stage, and stage moved around Field House in Indy.
Someone say Gold? I thought you saw Shinedown. That's true. That was an acoustic concert. Very cool, actually, at Jay Rieger in their Electric Park. There was only maybe 100 people there. Does that count? It was like a very private.
Yeah,
They play like four songs. And then what about the halftime performances? Does that count?
No.
Okay. Because if so, then I can add Rihanna. I can add Nelly. Usher.
Super Bowl halftime, I think, does count, actually.
Okay. Well, then I guess more. Add Shakira into that as well.
Yeah, there you go.
I guess we can add a few more to that. All right. That is the random question of the day. Up next, it's a fan club Friday. We'll get to some game predictions. We'll have some cocktails. Dana Wright's going to join us. We have to ask her this exact same question as well. That's next.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.